Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tzadik Aleph, and we are four lines from the bottom of daf Tzadik Amud Beis. So yesterday we began the new Perek Chelek, which begins, of course, with the very famous words, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek La'olam Haba, stating that. We have a whole list of Ve'elu She'en Lem Chelek La'olam Haba. And we spoke out yesterday in quite detail the Machloikis Rishonim, when the Mishnah says Olam Haba, what is the definition of the word Olam Haba? Roiv Rishonim, the Adrama, the Chedushei Aran, the Ramban and the Shaar HaGmul, that's the way the Rav Bar Tanur explains it right here on the Mishnah, say that Olam Haba is referring to the Olam Atchiya. We all believe it's one of the 13 Animamins. It's the theme of the early Dafin here in Perek Chelek, that at some point in the future, after Mashiach comes, there's going to be a great resurrection. All the people that died, unless you don't merit it, are going to come back from the dead. There's going to be Tchias HaMesim. That world that's going to exist when people come back to life, say the Rishonim, that is Olam Haba. As if to say, the Olam HaTchia, the world that will exist after Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba, are synonymous of each other. They're two words that describe the same Tkufa. It's a Tkufa that doesn't exist right now. It's a Tkufa that's going to exist in the future. The Rambam is a Das Yochid that seems to argue. The Rambam's in the beginning of the 8th Perek in Hilchos Teshuvah. The Rambam says that when Chazal said Olam Haba, they weren't referring to this world that's going to exist in the future. It's a world that exists right now. In fact, it's the world that people go to after they die. When a person dies, so we know that if you merit, you go to Gan Eden. If things didn't play out the way they could have, you end up going to Gehenim, Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim, Yud Beis Chodesh, etc., etc. That world, the world of Gan Eden and the world of Gehenim, the Olam HaNeshama is where there's no guf, that world is what's known as Olam Haba. So according to almost all the Rishonim, Olam Haba is the Olam HaTchia, it's this world that's going to exist in the future. According to the Rambam, it's a world that exists right now, it's the world of Gan Eden, and it's the world of Gehenim. Now that's Pashat, all the Rishonim agree that there's an Olam HaNeshama right now. When a person dies today, he goes either to Gan Eden or to Gehenim. And that world the Rishonim referred to as the Olam HaNeshamas. The point is, it's not the Olam Haba that the Gemara referred to. This Mishnah here in Perek Chelek, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that talks about Yofa Koyres Ruach Me'olam Haba, and many other Mamari Chazal that describe Olam Haba, say the Rishonim is not referring to the Olam HaNeshamas, the world of Gan Eden, Gehenim, but rather it's referring to some world that's going to take place in the future. And we said that what comes out then is something very interesting, because the Tachlis is about Olam Haba. Everyone agrees with that. That we are put on this world, we're given the Siyonis, we're giving tests, our job is to do the right thing and to try to be able to overcome our temptation to do the wrong thing. And the tachlis of it is not to be rewarded on this world. The tachlis is to be rewarded in Olam Haba. Where is that Olam Haba? What's the end game? When exactly are we going to be able to reap the benefits of the very hard work that we have to put into this world? According to the Rishonim, it's going to be after Tchias HaMesim. After Tchias HaMesim, we're going to stand up from the grave with our guf, by the way, and it's with our guf that we are going to be able to enjoy the ultimate tachlis, the ultimate tzchar. According to the Rambam, it's not going to happen in the Olam HaTchiyah. It's going to happen in the Olam HaNeshamas. In fact, we mentioned yesterday, very briefly, that the Rambam L'shitase, when he talked about Tchias HaMesim, said that people are going to die after Tchias HaMesim. They're going to live longer than they live today, but people are going to die and they're going to return to the Olam HaNeshamas, because that's really the tachlis. You're taking someone from Olam Haba, you're bringing him into this Olam HaTchiyah for 100, 200, 500, 1,000 years, whatever the amount of time is going to be, and then he's going to die. He's going to go back to the Olam HaNeshamas, because that's the tachlis. The tachlis is Began Edim Tiyah Menuchasa. That is the ikar, according to the Rambam. Whereas according to the Rishonim, the place that tzaddikim go to today is not the tachlis. Gan Eden is not what it's about. It's about Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is not Gan Eden. Olam Haba is the Olam HaTchiyah. Another thing we spoke about yesterday was that although the Mishnah says Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba, there's so many Gemaras and Shas that talk about that if you do this, you're gonna have a Chelik in Olam Haba. Whoever was present when Rebbe died is going to have a Chelik in Olam Haba. Many Gemaras, you say Ashrei three times a day, you're gonna have a Chelik in Olam Haba. The story with Rabbi Roik and Leo Hanavi, he was trying to find someone in the Shuk that was the Ben Olam Haba, the Tubat Chanim, etc. So you find this idea that you need to do things to merit Olam Haba. I thought the Mishnah says Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak Olam Haba. So we spoke at a very important Tosfos, Tosfos Ksubas Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, that says it's true that everyone's going to have a Chelak in Olam Haba. The question is, are you going to have to go through Gehenim in order to get your Chelak in Olam Haba, or are you Mezumin L'Chay Olam Haba? It's ready. It's there right now. You can go right in COD without having to pass bridges and tunnels. You can go right into Olam Haba. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak L'Olam Haba. The question is, how difficult is it going to be in order for you to get there? What trials and tribulations are you going to have to endure before you finally Zoicha L'Olam Haba? And then another Yisoid, again, way above our pay grade, but another Yisoid we spoke about was that the Gemara talks about Tchias HaMesim, the Rishonim, Ritva, and the Ratva spoke about it in the Tshuva, discussed two Tchias HaMesim. So there's going to be the Tchias HaMesim, which will be in Olam Haba, and then the Rishonim say that in Yemois HaMashiach, there'll be a special Tchias HaMesim. It's going to be for the people that were Ashrei HaMechakev, Yagir Liyom, and the people that waited for Mashiach to come their whole lives. And they died before Mashiach came. So what's it going to be? And Mashiach's going to show up, and all these people that spent years mourning Churban Beis HaMikdash and waiting for Mashiach to come, why shouldn't they be able to participate? So the Ritva B'Lashoyne Azov says in the end of Masechtas Tainis that all those people that waited and waited and waited for Mashiach to come will be present when Mashiach finally comes. I mentioned some numbers from Rabbi Chanan, but for now we have a lot more Agadah to do. So Zok the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of Dav Tzadik Amid Beis. Shola Cleopatra Malkasa Ezra Meir. So Cleopatra the king, queen, asked Rameir. Now, we're all familiar with Cleopatra. There's a famous Cleopatra you probably heard about, but it's just important to note that that's not the Cleopatra that our Gemara is talking about. Cleopatra was a royal name. So just like all Egyptian kings were known as Paroi, they were known as pharaohs, all Syrian Greek kings were known as Antiochus, all Egyptian Greek kings were known as Ptolemy. So all the Egyptian queens were known as Cleopatra. This was a royal name. This Cleopatra was talking to a mayor who lived a lot after the Cleopatra of Cleopatra queen fame. Either way, Shola Cleopatra Malkus Ezra Meir Amra, she said, I know, Yodana, Dechaye Shechvi, that Hashem one day is going to be Mechaye Mason. It means that people that died are going to be brought back to life. Dechzit, and how did she know it? She knew it from a pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Beis. So it's interesting, the Tanam and Amiram, they were struggling to find the source in the Torah. But Cleopatra, she knew. She said, yeah, it's Psalms 72. She knew it. It's in Tehillim, Perakayim Beis. The pasuk says, "Vayotzitzu me'ir ke'esev haaretz," that the Jews are going to blossom like the esev haaretz, which she interpreted as mean Chias HaMesim. But she had an important question: Kishen oimdim arumim, are they going to get up undressed? Oy bilvusheim oimdim. Or are they going to get up dressed? Oh, my Lord. So our mayor told Cleopatra Malkasa, I can answer the question with a kalva chaymer. Michita. Let's prove it from a chita. Machita shenik pararuma. If you plant a chita, so what do? You take the seed and you put it in the ground. The seed is aruma, so to speak. And yoitza bekam levushin. Yet, when the chita grows from the ground, it grows with many levushim. It's dressed. It's a whole stalk. Tzadikim shenigbarim bilbusheim alachas kamav v'kamav. And certainly tzadikim that are buried with their levush, they're buried with tachrichin. There's no question that when they get up, they're going to get up dressed. They're not going to get up undressed. One thing you see clearly in this Gemara, that Tchias HaMesim is literally with a person's guf. To the extent that Rameir is having a conversation with Cleopatra Malkus, are you going to be dressed? You're not going to be dressed. Probably want to know what to wear before she was put underground. But the point is, you see clearly that a person's going to get up dressed, which means you're going to have your guf, which is one of the gemaras that the Ravid brings when he discusses this idea, Tchias HaMesim with the guf, without the guf. So he has a few gemaras. This is one of the gemaras. It's clear in this gemara that Tchias HaMesim is going to be with the guf. Amalei Kesa l'Rabbi Gamliel. The Kesa Rav Roimi was once having a similar conversation with Rabbi Gamliel. They were talking about Tchias HaMesim. Amritu d'shechvi chai, ha'avi afro. He says, I don't understand. How's it possible Hashem is going to make Tchias HaMesim? After a body is put in the ground, it decomposes. It turns into afar. The afra mikachai, could Hashem bring life from afar? Amro le barte. So the Kesar's daughter was standing there, overhearing this conversation. So she turns to Rabbi Gamliel and she says, Shofke, don't answer my father. I want to answer. Vano madranale. She said, Shnei yoitzrim yesh b'reinu. Moshe. There would be two yoitzrim, two people that are able to make kalim in our city. One is able to make kalim out of water, the other one's able to make it out of clay. Which one would you say is more impressive? The one that's able to make kalim from clay, or the one that's able to make kalim from mayim. There's nothing to talk about, because to make a keli from clay is not a big. That's not a kunst. To make out of mayim, that's something that really doesn't make any sense. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to bring life from mayim, referring to the tipas rucha, from where everyone comes, kal v'chomer later when the body will turn into offer, Hashem will be able to bring life from offer. The very Rabbi Shmuel taught a kavuchem from clay schuches. That the kavuchem that she said was from clay schuches. Ma clay schuches sha'am lam beruach basav adam. Nishpru yesh lam takana. Madach glass. If a person would blow into glass and create something, if later that glass keli breaks, yesh lam takana, it's possible to fix it. Sheberuchoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu basav adam. A person that was created with the ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, if he breaks, meaning he dies and he's buried and he turns into offer, alachas kama v'kama, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to fix it. Amaliyahu mina l'Rav Ami. A min was once having this conversation with Rav Ami. Amritu, you say the shichvi chai, that people die and they're going to be brought back to life. You see clearly in this Gemara, you have Cleopatra Malkus, so you have the minim discussing with Rabbi Gamliel. Here you have a min talking to Rav Ami about it. This was a hot button topic because the whole emunah of being a yid is predicated on Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim, Olam Haba, it's all one and the same. So the Jews believe that this existence that we have on this world, the 70, 80, 90, 120 years, that we're put on this world is not the Tachlis. And that was something that they were explaining and preaching and teaching and professing. So you had all these minim and heretics and apikorsim, they wanted to understand it a little bit better. So that's why this conversation's always happened with an apikoris, because apikoris doesn't want to believe in an afterlife. It messes up his agenda a little bit. It plays with his 9-to-5 a drop. So it's in their interest not to believe it. So they're having this conversation. So how's it possible that Hashem is going to be able to spring life from Afra? I'll explain to you what a mashal. There was a king who told his slaves, I want you to go build for me big palaces in a place where there's no mayim, there's no offer, meaning you don't have the materials necessary to build a palace. Go build a palace there. Hochu, they went. Ubanu. The king said, do it. So they figured out a way to get it done. Liyam enafu. At some point, this palace fell. Amar lehem, said the king, told him, Chazru ubanu, I want you to build another palace, but this time do it b'makim sheyesh ofer umayim. Do it right next to a Home Depot. Right? Do it in a place where there's material, you have pipes, you have whatever you need to build a house, you're going to be, Amru, they told him, inanu yuchayla. He says, we can't. Kasalim. So the king got angry. Amar lehem, he says, I don't understand. You were able to build a house in a desert, in a place where you didn't have the materials that you need. Now you have a whole construction, you have everything that you need. Certainly you should be able to do it. So what was the point? He was trying to say that Madach Hashem was able to create Basav Adam from a Tipas Rucha, which is not really the material of Basav Adam. It's just this incredible miracle how a person is able to somehow spring from a Tipas Rucha. So Kal V'chomer, if a person is Ofer, he already was a Basav Adam, that Hashem will be able to infuse life in him again, that he should be able to come back to life. And then he said that if you don't believe me, then it's possible that from Ofer, life can come. Tzei Lebikah. He says, why don't you go out into the bikkur? Ure'ei achbar. There's an animal, an achbar. Shehayoyim, that today is chetziyoy basar, vechetziyoy adam. Half of this animal is flesh. The other half of it is adam. L'machar, and if you go back the next day, hishritz v'nasa kulei basar. You're going to see that on its own, the half of the animal that is adamah is going to turn into basar. So you see that even today, there is a paradigm for this. Even today, there's an animal that's chetzio yadama, and that chetzio yadama is able to turn in to basa. You're going to say that, okay, maybe, I hear, you have this concept, but it's going to probably take a very long time. Hashem is going to be able to be Mechai the Mason instantly. Maybe it's going to take 50 years for Hashem to be Mechai the Mason. So he told him, Ale Lahar, no, you're going to take another field trip. Urei, I want you to see, Shayoim, Ein Bo Yelo Chilaz, go on top of the mountain, and you're going to see there's no Chilazin on top of the mountain today. L'machar, tomorrow, Yardu Gisham, and Esmali Kula Chazaynes. But you're going to see that tomorrow, there's going to be not one Chilazin, but there's going to be many. The point is that he was just proving to him from the world that even now there's this concept of life coming from afar. Even now there's this idea where Hashem can bring a lot of life instantly, and that's what's going to happen. Lasalavoi, all the people that turned into Afar, Hashem is going to be mechayah them, just like Hashem is mechayah the other half of that Achbar. And not just that, just like with the Chilazon, you see one Chilazon can turn it to many overnight, so too, instantly, Hashem is going to be mechayah all the Mason. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out process. But instantly, Hashem is going to be able to bring life to all these different Masons. So we're learning Parakhelik. There's so much to talk about. So I'll just tell you two things we're not going to talk about, simply because we don't have time. Number one, this achbar. You have this animal, this creature, that it's chetzioi basar, v'chetzioi adama, and it sounds like the adama, somehow through this metamorphosis, turns from adama into basar. Is that something that is even scientifically feasible? So if you look at the Rishonim talk about the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, they all describe this animal, and it seems that people had seen it, and there was a lot of talk about what exactly this animal was. So that's one interesting way we'd be able to take this if there was a little bit more time. Another thing is the Chilazon. The Gemara mentions the Chilazon. So what's the Chilazon? Very important Rashi here. Chilazon says, Rashi, toilas, it was a worm, sheyoytze min hayam, echad l'shivim shana. It comes at, it's like an amphibian. It lives at sea, and it also can live on dry land. And it comes out of the sea once every 70 years. And this is the punchline, tchelas. They used to take the blood of the chilazon, and it was from the blood of the chilazon that they had the tchelas. And Rashi says it's a fact that if you'd go up, and you would look at the mountain where the chilazon is, you'd see one, and from that one, somehow, a whole family of chilazons appear. But the point is, this chilazon that Rav Ami was referring to is the chilazon of Tcheles fame. And this is a very important Rashi, because when the Rizina Rebbe, known as the Bala Tcheles, was trying to discover, he was the first person that started this movement in the 19th century, where he wanted to find the Tcheles and bring Tcheles back, which of course a lot of people wear Tcheles, there's a lot of different types of Tcheles, so a lot has been written about the Tcheles, but the Rizina Rebbe, he was the renegade, he was the revolutionary, he's the one that started this, so he had to figure out, how do you know what the Tcheles was? So he was malakid all the different sources in Chazal that talk about the Tcheles, and saw if he could try to put this together. And this Rashi was very important, because they have a Rashi that describes the Tcheles as a worm, but it's Yoytze min Hayam Echad L'Shivim Shana. So that's going to knock out most of the animal kingdom. It comes out of the Yam every 70 years. So in the critical Rashi, in terms of understanding today, do we have the real Tcheles or do we not have the real Tcheles? Either way, Zok Gemara Vayta. Amar Le'ahu Mino L'Gviya Ben Pesiso. There were a min that was having a similar conversation with Gviya ben Pesisa, and he told Gviya as follows: Vayla chayin chaya vaya. The Amritan Mason Chaya says, you know, you're so silly. You believe that Hashem one day is going to resurrect the dead? The Chayin Mason. Hashem can't keep people that are alive alive. The Mason Chayin. You think Hashem is going to be able to take people that already died and bring them back to life? Amale, Segviya ben Pesisa responded in the same exact way. He said, "Vay lo chayin chayin." I think you're silly, you're foolish. Meisi loy chayin, the loy havi chayin, the havi chayin loy koshkein. Madach Hashem could bring to life someone that was never alive. Certainly Hashem will be able to bring to life somebody that was alive. It just depends on how you look at it. Amale, so this min told Gviya ben Pesisa, Chayavaya, currently, you're calling me a Russia, you're calling me a fool. Ikayimna, if I could, but itnabach, I would kick you, upashitna lak musaych minach. So apparently Gviya ben Pesisa had some deformity. He was a hunchback, so he couldn't stand straight. So he said, I can kick you and I can straighten you up and you'd be fine. Amale, so I wish you would. So please, knock yourself out. Rifle, umaktigari, not just that, you'd be a big doctor, you'd be in surgery all day. You'd be able to make a lot of money. Either way, so the Gemara mentions Gviya ben Pesisa randomly, I mean not randomly, because we have an exchange with Gviya ben Pesisa and this min, this heretic, as it relates to Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara does what it always does, especially when we're learning Agadita. The Gemara digresses. So we mentioned Gviya ben Pesisa. We're going to have a whole Amid Gemara about Gviya ben Pesisa that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Tana Rabbanon, Be'esrim Varba ben Nisan, Isnetilu, Dimus Noim, Yehudim Yerushalayim. Chav Dalet Nisan was a very important date on the Jewish calendar once upon a time, because it was on that day that there was a horrible threat that was threatening the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, performed a miracle that this threat went away. So what day did that happen? It happened on Chof Dalad Nis. What was the miracle? Kshbo b'nei Afrika l'adonim Yisrael l'fnei Alexandrus Mukdim. Alexander the Great had descended with his army upon Eretz Yisrael. And the people of Africa came to meet Alexander in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason they went was because they had a taina against the Jews. And they finally felt that they had an opportunity to exercise what was their right to be able to take something back from the Yidden that they believed in them as Soira always belonged to them. Amrulay, they tell Alexander the Great, who's acting now as judge and jury and everything else, Eretz Kanan Shalom, this land, the Jews have their Beis HaMikdash where they're living, it really belongs to us. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Eretz Kanan, Likvulei Seif. If you look at Parashas Noach, this week's Parasha, when Noach divides the world, so he divides it amongst his three sons and then amongst their sons. So you see clearly that Canaan, who is a descendant of Ham, he got Eretz Canaan. So the Jews, technically, they're occupying our territories. They took our lands. We want our land back. The hears that this big tumult happened because lawyers just showed up, prosecutors from Africa, and they're trying to get Eretz Yisrael back. Front of the United Nations, Alexander the Great. Says the Gemara, so he told the Chachamim, Tnuli Rishus, the Eilech, the Edani Mufnei, Alexandrus Mukdim. He says, do me a favor, let me be, I want to be the attorney, I want to represent, I want to be the Jewish lawyer, I want to represent the Jews in this case. He said, and they looked at him and said, you're not really so qualified to be a Ben Pazisa. So he says, I understand, but Manav Shach, I think it's a good reason. I'll tell you why I think I should do it. Because if you're not Tzchuni, if I'm going to be successful, Amru, they're going to say, Hedit Shebaro Nitzach, a guy without a law degree, who was able to win this case, and it's going to make us look very good. Good. The in ani, meaning if we lose, they're going to say, big deal. The reason he lost is because he wasn't trained. He wasn't a professional. And if I win, they're going to say, Teiras Moshe Nitzachta, and it must have been the Torah, because you see that anybody can make the argument. So the Gemara says, Nasolei Rishos, they gave him Rishos, V'holach V'don Imam. So Gvia Pempasisa is now representing the Jews against the Bnei Africa in front of Alexander the Great. Omalim, he tells them, Heichem Atem Avim Raya. So he turns to them, his opening argument was, he says, how do you know that Eretz Canaan belongs to you? Omalim, not Torah. He says, what do you mean? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Eretz Canaan, like Vulei said. Omalim, so he said, you know what? You want to talk Torah? That's fine. Let's talk Torah. Let's talk and learn. Let me learn it. I'm also going to make my case from Pesukim in the Torah. Shenema, the pasuk says, Vayomer, Orer Canaan, Eved Avodim, Yil Achiv. Noach curses Canaan, who's Ham's fourth son, and he said that he's going to be an Eved to his brothers. One second. So it means your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Canaan, is an Eved to our great-great-grandfather, Shem. Eved Shekana Nechasim, Eved Lemi Unechasim Lemi, Masha Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. So it's true, you got Canaan, but everything that you get, really we get. So checkmate, you're out. Follow your, he said, not just that. By the way, now that we're on the topic, you know, we also have a little grudge that we've been holding in for a very long time. If you're our Eved, how come you're not working for us? Why are you doing my work right now? Amalehen, Alexandrus Malka, Hechzir Lei Tshuva. So Alexander the Great now turns to the Bnei Africa and he says, would you like to please get up, come to the stand, and you're going to have to defend yourself now. Amrulai, they said, you know, we need 3 days to deliberate, to figure this out. They gave them time. Batku, they looked into it. They couldn't find an answer. Miad, Barchu, they ran away. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. They say, and not just that, the Bnei Africa that lived in Eretz Yisrael, even they left, and they left their fields, this was a a Shemitah year, and the Yidden were able to take the crops of the non-Jews, despite the fact they weren't able to produce any of their own. It says the Gemara, Shuv Pam Achas, Bo B'nei Mitzrayim, Lo D'Rim Tzayim. Now the B'nei Mitzrayim walked in. People from Egypt, lawyers from Egypt. Now they walk in front of Alexander the Great, and they come with their times. Amrulei, they say, you know, we also have this argument, this grudge that we've been holding against the Jews for a very long time. We want to make our case now. It says in the Torah, Hashem Nasan Aschen Ha'am Be'enei Mitzrayim Vayashilun. And the Jews, when they left Mitzrayim, they walked out with all the biza. They took money, they took gold, they took silver. They told them, we want it all back. He says, can I handle this one as well? And he made the same chesh. If they're going to defeat me, so we'll say, yeah, you beat a hedyet. Doesn't mean that we're wrong. The mania not zeh, but if I'm going to win, Amru lahem teres meitz rabenu nitzach. He went and he danded them. What's your right? How do you know that the Jews took things when they left Mitzrayim. I'm also going to prove my point from the Torah. The pasuk says, "Umoishav bnei Yisrael asher yashuv b'Mitzrayim shloishim shana v'arba'im yashan." The Yidden were in Mitzrayim for how long? 430 years. Were they really there for 430 years? We're going to see. Tnu lanu schar avoda shel shishim ribay sheshibadetem b'Mitzrayim shloishim shana v'arba'im yashan. See, he started doing some back of the envelope arithmetic. He said 600,000 Jews worked for the Mitzrayim for 430 years. This was slave labor. You owe us 258 million years worth of slave labor. That's a lot. Don't you think we had the right, therefore, to go out and take the clay kesef and the clay zav with us? Oh, well, Alexander just mocked him. He's making a pretty good answer, an argument. You know, we need 3 days to think about this. They realize that they're going to end up losing because they owe the Jews a lot more than the Jews owe them. So the Gemara says, Miyad hinichusa deisein k'shein zruis, v'karmeyem k'shein eturais, u'barchu v'oysa shana shvias oysa. It was a shana shvias, and the Jews ended up winning. Shuv pamachas bo b'nei shmol b'nei k'ru l'adam Israel of Alexander smoked them. The Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah, these are the Arab nations now, they came to Alexander smoked them. They also had a tie on the Yidden. I don't understand why the Jews are living in Eretz Canaan. It belongs to us also. The Ksiv. Because who did Hashem give Canaan to? Avram Avinu. Avram had two sons. It says, Ve'elo toldois Yishmael ben Avram. V'ksiv Ve'elo toldois Yitzchak ben Avram. So Avram has a son Yitzchak, but he also has a son Yishmael. Don't you think we should be in time? And not just that, Yishmael's older. Yishmael's the Bechar. He should get Pishnaim. Same exchange. Gvir ben Pesisa said, "Tunuli rishos veidach v'al dani malaf neilgzantes mukte." I mean, that's chuni amr hedish banu nitzachtem. V'mani yad atzeich oitzam amr dam teres moish rabeinu nitzachtem. Let me handle it. Nasli rishos v'halak v'dani mar. Amr dam eichem atem v'im ray. How do you know that Yishmael is the son? Amr dam eichem atem. It says it in the Torah. Amr dam afanilo every raya elman atem. I'm also going to bring a raya only from the Torah. Shenem vayiten Avram as kol hashaloi li Yitzchak. Avram took everything that he had. He gave it to Yitzchak. Ulebnei Pelakshin. And what about the Bnei Pelakshin? Keturah, Hagar, Ashel Avram, Nosan Avram Matanos. He gave them gifts. And he sent them away. So said Gvia Ben Pesisa, Av Shenosan Agatim Levana B'chayev. If a father has two sons, and one of his sons he gives gifts, gives them a little trust fund, he gives them things, and then he sends them away, sends them to the other side of the world. Then it's common sense that whatever he left back, he probably wanted for his other son. Meaning, had he given nothing to Yishmael, maybe it'd be a shtickle argument that Yerusha is supposed to be divided in half. But let's look at the Umdah, let's look at what Avram did. Avram takes Yishmael, he gives him gifts, he's calculated, he knows exactly what he wants him to have, he sends him to go settle a different land, and he puts Yitzchak in Eretz Canaan. Obviously, Yitzchak is the one that's supposed to get Eretz Canaan, and it was in that way that he was able to defeat the Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah. Says the Gemara, my matanis, what were these matanis, what were these gifts that Avram Avinu gave Yishmael? Rab Yirmiya Baraba Melamei Shemasa Lohem Shem Tumah. What he gave them was Shem Tumah. Rashi says, Kishuf. That was the gifts that he gave them. This kishuf, this koyach that people have in the eastern part of the world. You want to know where it came from? You want to know the rest of the story? These are the matonos. Vayiten Avram es kol ha-shaloi liyitzchot ulebnei apilak shemashal Avram nosan Avram matonos. Those are the matonos. It's kishuf umayse shedem, what the Gemara refers to as shem tumah. So we have over here gvei ben pesisa. Why are we talking about Gvia ben Pesisa? Because the Gemara mentioned an exchange between Gvia ben Pesisa and Amin with regards to how we can somehow rationalize and make sense of the fact that one day Hashem will be Mechayim Mason. We mentioned Gvia ben Pesisa. So the Derech Agav, we have three exchanges that Gvia ben Pesisa had with other Umois in front of Alexander Mukhtar. One exchange is with the Bnei Africa. The other exchange is with the Bnei Knan, and the third exchange is with the Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah. So a few horrors. Number one, the Gemara says that when did this happen? It happened be'esrim v'arba b'nisan. It happened on the 24th day of Nisan. Now we know, because we've spoken about this so many times in the Daf, that the Gemara discusses in somewhat detail, Masechtas Yuma daf samach tes amud aleph, when it was that Alexander the Great descended upon Eretz Yisrael. It's the Gemara in Yuma, samach tes amud aleph. The Gemara says, the Esrim, the Chamisha, the Teves, on the 25th day of Teves, you have to listen to the dates. On the 25th day of Teves, Yoim Har Grizimu. It's Yoim Har Grizim. It's a very special day. It's a yontif. You're not allowed to make a spadim on that day. It was a day that the Kutim requested from Alexandrus Muktim to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he gave them Rishos. So the Kutim come, they lobby in front of Alexander the Great. He said, I want the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. This is, of course, the second Beis HaMikdash. He says, I want you to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash. And he gives them Rishos. The Yidin here, news travels, that Alexander the Great is coming with his army. He's the mightiest warrior in the world, and he wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So they told Shimon HaTzadik, Ma also, what did Shimon HaTzadik do? He was the leader of the Jews at the time. He was also the Kohen God. Lovash Big Day Kahuna, he put on the Big Day Kahuna. Venesante for Big Day Kahuna. Umiakiri Yisrael Lima, he took all the Chashav Yidin with him. Vavuke Shel Arbi Yodea. The Gemara describes this event in great detail. They're holding torches of fire. Vachola Laila Holchu, they will. The entire night they traveled until they finally met up with Alexander the Great. I'm skipping a little bit. Kivin Shegiel Antifrus Zorchochama, the sun rose, Upogos Ebeze, and they met each other. Kivin Shirol, the Shimon HaTzadik, as soon as Alexander the Great saw Shimon HaTzadik, Yored Mimer Kaftoi, he got off his chariot, Vishtachav Lefonov, and he bowed down to Shimon HaTzadik. Amruloi, so they turned to Alexander the Great and they say, Melech Godol Kemoischo, a king that's as great as you, Yishtachav Yeluhudize, is going to bow down to a Jew. Amar lahem, he says, my God, Chevra, I have to tell you something. Every night I go to sleep, and there's someone that comes to me and he tells me how I should fight my wars and whether or not I'm going to be successful. I had never met this person. I had no idea who this person was. It's him. It's Shimon HaTzadik. You want to know why I'm giving him COVID? Because he's the secret to our success. He's the reason, Shimon HaTzadik, that we're being successful. Amar lahem lama basim. So Shimon HaTzadik turns to Alexander the Great. He says, why are you coming? So he tells him why he's coming. So Shimon HaTzadik says, you're coming to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? He says, you know why I'm able to help you in your dreams? Because it's in this bias that we daven for you and for your malchus, and it's for this reason that you're successful. You're going to destroy the very thing that's allowing you to be successful. He says, I didn't know this. He says, I was told by the Kutim that you're davening for bad things to happen to me. You're married to my malchus, that you're not on my team. So he told him, well, I'm glad I was able to straighten it out. Bottom line is, Alexandrus Muktim goes back. He lets it out on the Kutim. He ends up destroying their Beis HaMikdash that they had, which was not on the Har Abayis, but it was rather on Har Grizim, and that day became a Yontif. And when did this happen? It happened, says the Gemara, on Chof Hei Tevis. So you have two Gemaras in Shas, where the Gemara talks about Alexander the Great coming, where there had seemed to have been some risk, but the Jews ended up avoiding the risk. The two Gemaras are Sanhedrin, Tzadik Aleph, Amar Aleph, and Yuma Samech Tes, Amar Aleph. Sanhedrin, Tzadik Aleph, Amar Aleph, happened when? Happened on Chof Dalet Nisan. Yuma Samech Tes, Amar Aleph, happened on Chof Hei Tevis. It's interesting that both of these dates, or both of these stories, are mentioned in Megillas Tainus. And Megillas Tainus is a compilation of small Yom Tovim that the Yidden used to celebrate once upon a time. So once upon a time, there were certain days circled on the Jewish calendar, miracles that happened to the Jews on those days. And for that reason, these were days that the Yidden would celebrate. You couldn't make a spadim on those days. You couldn't fast on those days. We have one such day, it's actually eight of them, that have survived the Gauls, and that's Chanukah. Chanukah was in the Megillas Tainus. But there was a lot of Chanukah, a lot of vacation, once upon a time. These were small, mini Yom Tovim that existed. These two stories triggered small Yom Tovim, and as a result, they're mentioned in this scroll, in this Megillas Tainus that we have today, this Megillas Tainus, as days that a Yid has to observe as a Shtikel Yontif. What's interesting is that the dates are different. The Gemara brings our Maisa, Sanhedrin Tzadik, Aleph Amad Aleph, which is mentioned as taking place on Chav Dal and Nisan. In Megillas Tainus, it takes place on Chav Hei Sivan. And as it relates to the Gemara Masechtes Yuma, Samech Tes Amad Aleph, which the Gemara says happened on Chav Hei Tevis, in Megillas Tainus, this happened on Chav Aleph Kislev. So this happened a few days before Chanukah on the calendar. But either way, whenever exactly it happened, there's one interesting nuance that's mentioned in the Megillas Tainus that's not mentioned in our Gemara. And that is that after the story between Dviya ben Pasisa and the Bnei Africa and the Bnei Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah and the Bnei Canaan, the Megillas Tainus continues and says that Alexander the Great wanted to go to Yerushalayim. So he goes up to Yerushalayim and then he says he wants to go into the Beis HaMikdash. They bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and then he says he wants to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now the Jews had a problem. What do we tell Alexander the Great? That he can't go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Megillas Tainus says how the same Gvir ben Pasisa was able to use Chachma to get Alexander the Great to come off of that and agree not to want to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But I'll tell you something interesting, and this is the rest of the story. And that is Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote Hagoyis on Megillas Tainis. And in his Hagoyis right here, with regards to this episode that in Megillas Tainis is mentioned on Chof Hei Sivam that we have in Sanhedrin Tzadik Aleph Amid Aleph, he says, I don't understand how you can make this story shtim with the Gemara Yuma Samach Tesav and Aleph. Because Yuma Samach Tesav and Aleph, it sounds like that after Shimon HaTzadik meets with Alexander the Great, Alexander has tremendous respect for Shimon HaTzadik. He gives him money, he has covered for the Beis HaMikdash, and he's deferent to whatever Shimon HaTzadik says. Yet over here, the Megillas Tainis sounds just the opposite. It says he wanted to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They had to pull out this super attorney, Gvir Ben Pasis, had to try to find a way to get Alexander the Great not to walk in. So he says, he's not sure how these Gemaras shtim. So I'll read it to you inside. He says, Zeh ha-maisa kosha ha-tziur be-emes. He says, it's very difficult for me to understand it. Ki hu sosur mi divrei bala megala zu atzmoy. She beperik tes mevi ha-maisa d'Alexandris. She eshtacha v'lekoyen godol. V'kibed es ha-bayis. V'osa toivis li-Yisrael. Says, seems like he did a lot of good things for the Jews. Umuva gam be-gemara yuma samach tesam et al. Gam be-sforim chitzoynim. Says, it's even mentioned in secular works. Josephus quotes the story. V'al korchach tzarech lo-yimar. He says, the only way for me to reconcile it is d'Alexandris d'hocha. D'Alexander that's mentioned in Megillas Tainis has happened in Chodesh Sivan, which is the Gemara we learned today in Perek Keles, is not Alexander the Great. Hainu shluchai shekim moisai she'ava derech Yerushalayim. They happened in different times, right? We said the dates are off by a couple of months. It's not the same person. Yuma samach tesam et alav. That was Alexander the Great. He was the one that met Shimon HaTzadik. He bowed down. He had tremendous covet for the Beis HaMikdash. He would have never wanted to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This Gemara here in Perek Keles, these maises with Gvir ben Pasisa was not Alexander the Great. It was an emissary of Alexander the Great. It was some high-ranking official. But was that Alexander the Great? No, it wasn't him. It was Shluchai Kamaisai. The Gemara mentions it as if it was him. But really, it wasn't him. It's not the same person. It happened at different times. And that's how you reconcile these two stories. But just two other smaller aras as it relates to this Gemara before we go weiter. And that is the first one. So we have here that the Bnei Kinan come. The Bnei Kan, the Bnei Africa, they come and they tainazich in front of Alexandra's Mukdim. What's their tain in front of Alexandra's Mukdim? Says, I don't understand, the Jews are living in our land, right? Noach, this week's Parsha, is going to give Canaan to Ham and his children. They're the ones that are going to end up getting Canaan. What in the world are the Jews doing there? It's a passing in the Torah. So what if Gvir ben Pasisa said? He says that the same Noach said, Or Canaan, Eved Avodim Yelachiv. So you have a classic case of Masha Kona, Eved Kona Rabbi. It's for that reason you're able to stay in this land right here. Freik to Marsha, a Gevaldig Akasha. He asks Akasha from the first Rashi in Chumash. Right? We just had it. Parashas Bereishis. The first Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, Bereishis why did the Torah start with Bereishis Bara Elikim Es HaShemayim V'Esaretz? Rashi says, or quoting Rav Yitzchak, some say it was his father, he wanted that the first thing that he wrote in his spiritual Torah should be something in the name of his father. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, Lo Hayitzarech LaHaschol Es HaTorah, Ela Me'achoydesh Az Elochem. Really, where the Torah should have started with was the first mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah of Achidus Hazalochem, she mitzvah Rishoyno, she netzdava by Yisrael. Umatam pasach v'bereishes. Why did the Torah start with bereishes? Says Rashi, Mishum koyach masav higid la'amei losses of nachas. Shem yoyim ru'umay sa'olim liYisrael. Because if there's going to be a day in the future where the umay sa'olim are going to come to the Yidden and they're going to say, listen, matam, you're robbers, you're stealers. Shekivash demarz leshidus goyim. What are you doing living in Eretz Canaan? Eretz Canaan belongs to Canaan's children. It belongs to Noach's descendants through Ham. Hey, Moimrim, you know what the Jews are going to say? Kol ha'aretz shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I know that. Bereishis bara Elikim es ha'shamayim v'es'aretz. Hu bara, Hashem created the land. U'nesona la'sheyosha ve'enam. And He chose to give it to whoever He wants to give it. Beretzoyna nasna lahem. U'beretzoyna nitla mehem u'nasna lanu. So you want to know why the Torah begins with Bereishis Bara Elikim Es HaShemayim V'Esaretz? It begins with Bereishis Bara Elikim because this is the argument that the Jews will be able to use for all future generations.
When it comes to time that the Umay Sa'ilam are going to want to try to take the land away from the Jews, arguing that we stole the land from them, you know what the Jews are going to say? Open the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'sa'aretz. Hashem created the land. He gave it originally to Canaan. That's all true. But then later, he decided to give it to somebody else. Sefrek de Marsha, this is a classic example where the Jews had to pull the first Rashi in Chumash out of their pocket and tell this to the Bnei Africa, to the Bnei Canaan. So what are they coming with? Eved Avodim, yeah. Why is that the argument? He should have said better. He should have said, Precious Baruch. Rashi says this is the argument. It's sealed, signed, and delivered. Why do you have to make up new arguments? Like, Canaan is an Eved, Nashakon Eved, Kon Rabbi. Say better. Say, Precious Baruch, as a Shemayim Vesar. It's Festikasha for the Marsha. So the Marsha says, you want to know why Gvir Bet Basisa didn't use this argument? Because he anticipated what the counter argument was going to be. The counter argument was going to be a festa argument. And even though the Marsha is just describing it as the argument of the Bnei Africa in this obscure Maimer Chazal, where they're going at it with Gvir Bet Basisa in front of Alexander the Great or in front of one of his emissaries, but really there's mucker to this argument. And that is that it's true that Hashem gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jews, but there were a lot of strings attached. There were a lot of streaks attached. Go through all the psukim in the Torah. Hashem tells the Yidden, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. But what do you need to do? You have to keep Torah mitzvahs. You have to do the right thing. What happens if the Yidden don't keep Torah mitzvahs? They're going to be thrown out of the land. If they're going to be thrown out of the land, what does that seem to suggest? That the whole land was given to them, likatchila alatna. That if you're going to keep Torah mitzvahs, then you can keep the land. But to the extent that you're not going to keep Torah mitzvahs, then you're not going to be able to keep the land. Now, when did this episode take place with Gvir Bet Basisa in front of Alexander the Great? This happened in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Being that it happened in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, it means it happened after Churban Beis HaMikdash. After Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Yidden were over Gilei Arayas, Avoid the Zorah, Shvichas Nomen. At that point, the Yidden had sinned. It means they didn't fulfill their end of the bargain. If the Jews didn't fulfill their end of the bargain, Eretz Canaan doesn't belong to them anymore. If it doesn't belong to them anymore, it's true that you have the first Rashi in Chumash. But that's when the Yidden are living in Eretz Yisrael, when they're shruyin al admosa, when they're doing what they're supposed to do. But to the extent that they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then to the contrary, now the Umay Sa'ilam Ketaina, it's true Hashem gave it to you, but He gave it to you Allah tonight. So if you don't fulfill the tonight, what do we do with the land now? It goes back to where it was originally. Give it back to Canaan. That would have been the counter argument. Gvir Bet Basisa anticipated that. So you know what he said? He had a better argument. He said, I hear where you're going to go with this. But you know something? You're our Eved. And the fact that you're our Eved has no strings attached to it. Eved, Avodim, yeah. Look, forever and ever, whether we keep mitzvahs or we don't keep mitzvahs. So basically, Hashem gave us the land. He gave it to us Allah tonight. We didn't fulfill the tonight. So where does it go back to its original owner? Who's the original owner? Canaan. Canaan is our Eved. But Mela, we end up getting it anyways. But the reason he used that argument is because he was anticipating where they were going to go with this. What's the makar to this argument? The Rishonim said. Because we all know the Gemara. The Gemara says when the Yidden were makabel the Torah originally, they were forced into it. Kof aleim har kigigas. When were they makabel Torah b'yahava? Hati kibluha? After the story of Purim, Klai Yisrael was makabel the Torah again b'yahava. And Rava said, Mikan moedor rabbele reisa. He said that, you should know, that if a person would go up to Shamayim and Hashem would say, why didn't you keep Torah mitzvahs? You say, I was never Mekabalah. He says, what do you mean? You stood at our Sinai. That's called being Mekabalah. You put the mountain on top of us like a gigas. He didn't really give us two choices. So it was for that reason we were Mekabalah Torah. So up until the Yidden were Mekabalah Torah b'mei HaShverosh, okay, at that point already, Hadi Kabul b'mei HaShverosh. But in that interim period, they had a time that said, Rava, Mikam Meidoi Rabba. So all the Rishayim asked, the Rajba, the Ritva, the Ramban, everybody asked the same kasha. Then had Hashem destroyed the first base of Mikdash? Churban Bayis Rishon happened when? It happened before the times of Purim. Before Hadik Kibbul B'mei HaShverosh. So really, there was always an argument of Mikam Meidor Rabbe Le'Raisa, being that the Yidden will never Makabal Eter Me'Havah. Had Hashem destroyed the first base of Mikdash? Say the Rishonim. It's true. The Churban Bayis Rishon wasn't Begeder Oynish. Really, Hashem? It wasn't fair to punish the Jews. Because they were never Makabal Eter Beratzah. But Eretz Yisrael was given to them originally Al HaTanai. Being that it was given to Al HaTanai, they didn't fulfill their end of the Tanai. Hashem says, I'm taking the land back. Is that a punishment? Maybe you're right, I can't punish you. Because Mikan Moedei Rabbe Le'Raisa. But I gave it to you on a certain condition. And being that you didn't fulfill your condition, it's for that reason I have a right to take the land back. One more aura. And that is, so what is the name Mitzrayim come? The Egyptians come in front of Alexander the Great, and they say, you know, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they walked out with gold and silver, they took leichters and bechers, right? It was like after the Holocaust. They want their reparation, they want it all back, right? We want to try to get it back. So Gvir Pampas Zizan says, really? He says, I have no problem. Let's make a cheshbon, but I want to tell you my end of the cheshbon. What my side of the ledger is going to look like is 600,000 Jews worked for 430 years. Do the math. That's what you owe us. So we'll see. If we owe you more, we'll make up the difference. But if you owe us more, you're going to make up the difference. Bottom line is they all jammed. They took the, they left the 12% tip, and they were never heard from again. So that's the story with the B'nai Mitzrayim in front of Alexander the Great. Frank the Marsha, Gvir ben Pesisa, was he being erlich? Was he being honest? I mean, it worked. But was he being, just because it works doesn't mean it's right. Jews weren't in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Now there's a pasuk that says, when Moshe ben Yisrael, Asher Yashuv ben Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shonav Arba Me'eshonav. But Kamikul, Rashi brings on Chumash, it means from what? The Brisbane Absorim, until the Yidden left Mitzrayim, was 430 years. The Yidden were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Hashem told Yaakov, Redu, go down to Mitzrayim, Redu is Gematria 210, Reish Dalet Vav. That's how we know 210 years. But really, the Sheba Mitzrayim wasn't even 210 years. The Sheba Mitzrayim is 86. The Gematria of Elikim, which is Midas Adin. Miriam was called Miriam because she was born when the Sheba started. Miriam was 86 years old when Yidden left Mitzrayim. So Sheba Mitzrayim was really 86 years. So if Gvir ben Pesisa was going to be honest, really it's 86 years that he can come after. How does he have a right to come after 430 years? So Masha asks the Kasha, the Masha's Matrik, he says, Lemaisa, there's a pasuk that says 430 years, but he didn't mean 430 years. It's really 86 years. But I was thinking of a Dover Nifla, and it might even be Emes. We spoke out once, Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. The Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, they left only one-fifth. The other four-fifths died during Makas Choshech. Says the Chassam Sofer, let's think about the Jews in Egypt, high level, for a moment. The Yidden in the beginning of Parashat Shemos, the heavy baby, Shisha Bekeres, six are coming out at a shot. It's unbelievable. The Jews are procreating at record-breaking paces. And then shortly later, when it's time to leave, they all die. So what was the point in all these people coming to the world? Yet Shisha Bekeres Echad, and then V'chamusha Molo B'nei Yisrael, V'yaretz Mitzrayim. So wouldn't it have just made more sense from the Kadosh Baruch Hu perspective, not to have all these children, for them to all have to die? Yeah, this unbelievable miracle take place, Shisha Bekeres Echad, and then they end up dying. It's only the Chamusha Molo B'nei Yisrael, V'yaretz Mitzrayim. Zok Tehele Gechsam Sefer, Adavar Nifla Adlamay. Listen to this. He says, because the Jews were really supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. It says, in Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yashuv b'Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana, V'arba Me'eh Shana. Really, they were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. And the work that they were supposed to do was 600,000 Jews. That's the Shleimus of Klal Yisrael. 600,000 Jews were supposed to work for 430 years. But Hashem realized that there was no way in the world that the Yidden would be able to endure 430 years of Golos. How are you going to endure 430 years? How hard it was for the Jews to endure 6 years in concentration camps. Yeah, you're not going to be able to 430. How are we going to do it? How is it going to be a Jewish nation? 430 years later, there's going to be askonim. They're going to have to put the pieces back together. That's not going to be so easy. That's a very, very long time. So you know what Hashem did? Hashem made a miracle. He made Shisha Bekeres Echad. There weren't 600,000 Jews. There were 3 million Jews. And the 3 million Jews worked not for 430 years. They worked for 86 years. Says the Chassam Sofer, take the envelope, flip it around and do the math. 86 times 3 million is the same as 430 times 600,000. 86 is exactly one-fifth of 430, like 600,000 is exactly one-fifth of 3 million. They both come out to 258 million. There was a gzera of 600,000 Yidden having to work for 430 years. Hashem knew they couldn't endure it, so what did he do? Instead he took 3 million, worked for 86 years. So I ask you, if Gvir ben Pesisa is going to make the argument right now, and he's going to say, you owe us. You know how much you owe us? It's 258 million. Now, there's two ways we can get there. We can get there by doing 430 times 600,000, or we can do it by doing 3 million times 86. So he said 430, because that's the pasuk in the Torah. He's not telling them Chassam Sofer, so he said 430 times 600,000, but he wasn't lying. He wasn't being dishonest. He was being erlich, because really what it was, not 600,000, it was 3 million. It was only the Chamusha Malu B'nai Yisrael Mi'aretz Mitzrayim. It was 3 million times 86, which is exactly 430 times 600,000, whatever. But the point is, you get the point. Bottom line is that half of a fell. I'll just tell you one other Ha'ara while we're on the topic of Ha'aras and digressing, and it's getting late anyways. So at this point, we can soon daven mincha. But just one other Ha'ara, and that is to the last Gemara. Right, so we mentioned something about the Bnei Africa. We mentioned something about the Bnei Mitzrayim. So let's mention something about the Bnei Keturah and the Bnei Yishmael. So what does Avram give the Bnei Keturah? He gives them Yitain Avram as Kol HaShaloi Ulebnei Pelakshim HaShal Avram Nosan Avram Matonois. So what were these Matonois? What exactly did he give them? Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Melameh, it's coming to teach us Shemosad Lohem Shem Tumah. What he gave them was Shem Tumah. Rashi says Kishuv Maisa Shedim. So another Marsha. Freak the Marsha, how do you give them Shem? How do you give them Kishuv? Kishuv is something, is a Bnei Chaladu Kishuv. It was a Machlekes in the Gemara. When we learned to Sugi as a Bnei Noach, one man, the Omer, had Kishuv as one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. See, isn't Avram Avinu being Machshel his descendants? They're Bnei Noach, true. They don't have to keep the Tariyak Mitzvahs, but the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach they have to keep. And now he's being Goyber Lefnei Yiver because he's giving them Kishuv. What are they going to do with it? They're going to use the Kishuv, right? So if they're going to use the Kishuv, what happened to Velifnei Yiver? So again, the Marsha is Matrik. He says you have to say that this Gemara is going according to the Manama that says that Kishuv is not Asa to Bnei Nech. It's a Machlekes in the Gemara. You're right. There's no way to make Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba work with the Manama that holds that Kishuv is one of the Zion Mitzvahs. Because if Kishuv is one of the Zion Mitzvahs, it's just not going to work. But I saw in the Chidah, he brings from the Be'er Sheva. He says it in his Pesach Einayim, right here in Masechta Sanhedrin. So he brings that he fa'ata ro'isi l'harav Be'er Sheva ve'hevi'oi b'sefer regal yishara hocha b'shmaitin. He says that, you know why Avram gave him the shame? Tumah, you know why he gave them Kishuv? Because sometimes Kishuv can be a valuable tool. Sometimes a person can find himself in a pickle, and if you know how to recite certain incantations, if you're tapped in, it could work. You can get you out of a jam every now and again. So he gave them the shame Kishuv, Lahatzel Atzman, in the event that they're going to need it. The Zeb Mutal Yisrod. This is Mutter, says the Be'er Sheva, even for a Yid, of Marshal, Maram. So I don't know which Marshal this is, he doesn't give me the source. But I think this is the Marshal that the Shach quotes in the beginning of Simon Kuf Ayin Tesun Yeridah, where he discusses if Litzayrach Rafu, a Yid today, is allowed to use Kishuv. And he says that the Marshal writes in a Tshuva that he can, that he brings from the Zayar Kaddish, maybe not. So the Shach comes out, Halacha L'maisa. But the bottom line is that there is Mokin in Halacha L'maisa for a person to be able to use Sheikh Tum. Comes from a marshal. See, he says based on the marshal, it's kabbalic. He didn't give them shame kishuv to just use frivolously, right? With ben azmanim, be busy with kishuv. That's not the point. Was no, he was giving them kishuv lahatz v'lasum. But then he does a punchline. He says the fi zetz kabbalic. Omer Yirmiyahu bar Abba melamed shemasal em shame. What's the word melamed? Malamed, it's coming to teach us. Coming to teach us. Malamed, you always find in halachic context. Right, when you're discussing a halacha, Malamed, it's coming to teach me. You could do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos, it's Asr, it's Mutter, whatever. That's where you find usually the word Malamed. Malamed, this is Divrei Agada. We're trying to figure out what gifts did Avram Avinu give the Bnei Keturah. Malamed, it sounds like there's a halacha. Zok techida, like this Be'er Sheva. I know what Malamed means. Because we actually learn a halacha from it. How was Avram Avinu allowed to give Shem Kishuv to his children? L'chayra Kishuv is asa to Bnei Noach. Malamed, it's coming to teach me a halacha. That lahatz alatz my mut, and it's like a mut even for a yid. Like the Shach brings in the beginning of Yerideya, Simen Kuf, every word. Malamed. See, the word Malamed, said the techida, teaches me a halacha. It's unbelievable. Right, you're learning this big daf. How many words are there on this daf? But in this word malame, tucked away, you have a whole bunch of raid. Halacha l'maisa, fascinating stuff. It's amazing. So the Gemara, Amalei Antoninus the Rebbe. So we go from Alexander the Great to Marcus Aurelius. We'll talk about it maybe tomorrow. Amalei Antoninus the Rebbe. Kufa neshama, yucholim lift their atzvim and adin. Right, so Rebbe famously was good friends with one of the Roman emperors, who in the secular world is known as Marcus Aurelius, and Chazal is known as Antoninus. Rashi brings Rebbe and Antoninus in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. Antoninus was a good friend of Rebbe. They used to learn Torah together. They had a lot of philosophical debates and theological debates. One of them is this Gemara right here. So Antoninus tells Rebbe, you know, one day when a person is going to give din v'cheshbon in front of Hashem, so the guf is going to stand in front of Hashem, the neshama is going to stand in front of Hashem. You know, if I was their lawyer, if I was advocating on their behalf, I would have a very good argument. Guf the neshama, yecholim lift their atzma min adin. Okay, the guf, I mean the guf could say, neshama chatas. You want to know why I did averus? It's because of the neshama. Shem yom shapir shem imeni. Because from the day that my neshama left me, harini mutol ke'evin doimim. Ichzitz v'apatlin. Right, since my neshama left, I don't do anything. When the ground, I'm not doing anything. The neshama emeris, the neshama can say the same thing. Guf chata, it's all the guf. Shemiyem shapirashti mimenu, because from the day that I separated from the guf, harini pirachas ba'avra, I'm floating in the air somewhere, kitzipa, like a bird. Right? So the guf and the neshama can each have a good argument, they should be able to get out of it. So this was Antoninus' argument to Rebbe. Amalei, he said, I'm explaining to you what a mashal. The melech was there was a melech basavadam, the part of the snow, who had a garden, a beautiful garden. And he had te'enois that were starting to grow. And he appointed two watchers. Echad chiger, one was a chiger. One couldn't walk well. The echad suma, one couldn't see well. Couldn't see. Amalei chiger, the suma, so the chiger tells the suma, bekurois nois ani roi bepari. He says, you know, I see these bekurois nois. So they're working for the king. They're supposed to be watching this garden. In the meantime, the chiger sees these fruit and he wants it. So he turns to the suma and he says, you know something? This fruit here, it's really, really good fruit. I'd love to have it. My problem is I'm a chiger. He says, I can't get there. The suma couldn't see, but the suma was able to walk. So he told him, Bava Harkiveni, why don't you put me on your shoulders? You could walk, I could see, and together, v'nevi'im lo'ichlam, we'll be able to get him. Rochav chiger gabi suma v'nevi'im v'achlam. The yom, baba pardes, the owner of this pardes came. Amalev, he said, Bekure, it's nice, heichlam. You were paid to watch this garden. Would you like to explain to me where these figs went? Amalei chiger. So the chiger turns to him and says, "Klum yeshu reglai lahalik l'am feet. I couldn't have gotten them." Amalei suma. Then the blind person says, "Well, I can't be. I don't even know what you're talking about. Klum yeshu einayim liros. I can't see it. Ma'asa." So what did this chacham balapardus do? Here came chiger agabi suma. He put the chiger on top of the suma. V'donai sam keachad. So no, you're gonna stand in my court. The way you're going to stand in the court is exactly like this. A little awkward, but you're going to be standing and we're going to prosecute you exactly like this. Because, listen, this is how it happened, obviously. So this was the pikchus that Rebbe told Antoninus. Said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same exact thing. Hashem is going to take the neshama and he's going to put in the guf, and he's going to dan them together. So even though the guf is technically buried, but the guf is going to be somehow. Or maybe he's referring to the Trias HaMesim, the real Yoim HaDin that's going to happen in the future, like the Rishonim discussed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yikrael HaShemayim Me'ol Ve'el Ha'aretz Lodin Amo, Yikrael HaShemayim Me'ol Neshama Ve'el Ha'aretz Lodin Ima Zeh HaGuf. Hashem is going to call the Neshama and the Guf, he's going to bring them together, and this is the way he's going to down the body. I'll just tell you, it's interesting that I once saw the Vilna Gaon says that when the Neshama gives Din Rechashbin and Shemayim during the Yud Beis Chodesh, after a person dies, the guf feels it. There is some harkava, there is some connection between the guf and the neshama, despite the fact that the neshama is perech ba'avr, like Antonino said, and the guf is down, buried in the ground, but there's a connection to the point that even though Yisurei Gehenna is technically not Yisurim of the guf, it's Yisurei Nefesh, but the Vilna Gaon said that the guf feels the Yisurim that the Nefesh is enduring during Gehenna. Why is it that the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west? So Rebbe told Antoninus, if it would rise in the west and set in the east, you'd ask me the same questions. It has to rise somewhere and has to set somewhere. What I mean to ask you is, why does it set in the west? Shouldn't it come full circle? Right? Shouldn't it start in the east and come back to the east? Rashi says everything in the world it's a galgal achayzer. Everything comes full circle. It's usually 360. So why over here is it 180? Why does it start here and end there? He told him, so Rebbe told Antoninus, because the Shechina is in the west, the Shechina is in the west, and the idea of the sun setting in the west is that the sun is giving cover to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's giving shalom, it's waving, it's bowing to the Kodesh. Why does it have to go all the way to the west? Why can't it come a little to the west and then boom, let it just go down and let it set? The reason is because if it would set abruptly, the workers wouldn't know. Right now, we see it's Shkia, you have the first Shkia, Rabbeinu Tam Shkia, you have the Achtel Shkia, right? You have an idea a little bit of how things are playing themselves out. But if the sun would set abruptly, what would the Poyalim at work do? They'd be dangerous for them to get home. And the Ivrei Drachim, like this, you
you know to stop preparing yourself because night is coming. When is Hashem infused in a neshama in a person? So always this tut stadim, mishas pekida, from the time that it's determined that this tipa is eventually going to bear a child, is it from the tipa srucha or mishas yitzira? As soon as the body, the embryo, starts forming. Amalesi told him mishas yitzira. It must be mishas yitzira. But then he responded, that's what Rebbe said. Amalei Antoninos, efshe chaticha shel basay medesh loy shiyom boi melech, could a piece of meat sit for 3 days without salt, veinim asrachas, and not spoil? Meaning, the tipa srucha is going to spoil if it doesn't have an neshama. Ela mishas pekida. It must be mishas pekida. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said, dovar zeh lamdeni Antoninos. Antoninos taught this to me. I always thought the neshama comes as soon as the embryo starts forming. I realize now it's from the tipa srucha already. In the tipa srucha, that's where the neshama is already formed. And mikra mesayoi, and there's actually a pasuk that seems to suggest that shenemer ufkudai secha shamra ruchi. Mishas pekida, a person already has a ruch. When does a person get his yetzahar? So the first question was, when do you get your neshama? When do you get your yetzahar? As soon as a person is born, that's when he gets his yetzahar. He says, then how come Mishas Yitzira, as soon as the embryo is formed. So the fetus already has a Yetzara. He says, if the fetus has a Yetzara, why doesn't it start kicking his mother and trying to get out? El Mishas Yitzira, he said, it must be it's Mishas Yitzira. That's what Antoninus told Rebbe. I mean, Rebbe thought it was Mishas Yitzira. He realized it's Mishas Yitzira. Rebbe, Dover Zelam Deni Antoninus. Another thing that Antoninus taught me, Umikra Messiah, and there's a pasuk that supports him, Shenemer Lepesa Chatos Roivets. The Yetzahara is standing at the door when a person's born and he is ready to pounce. The obvious kasha, Cheski's like you're asking, maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow.